You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey everyone, Tim McMaster here, along with our MLB.com Braves reporter, Mark Bowman. Mark, we're talking starting rotation on the podcast this week, and it's certainly an intriguing starting rotation when you look at the new additions to this Braves rotation and the veteran pitchers there. I think it's going to be a real entertaining rotation to watch as well, and we'll see as the season goes along if some of the young guys can kind of earn their way into that. But let's start at the top, and despite the additions of R.A. Dickey and Bartolo Colon, Jaime Garcia, Julio Teheran is the ace. I think he earned that title a year ago. I don't know if he's the long-term ace of this staff. He'll be a guy in there. But right now, best option as far as that number one. What do the Braves expect from him in 2017?
Yeah, Tim, I think you kind of laid it out perfectly there. I mean, I think what you saw from Julio Teheran is the capability of serving as a legit number two and or number three in many rotations last year. Now, within this rotation, I think he is with the number one. The Braves certainly hope to see him live up to that expectation or to that level. If he pitches like he did throughout most of last year, he certainly will be that anchor that they need at the top of the rotation. We saw him through the first 3 months last year earn that all-star status, which we saw from him in June right before he had that infected hair. They plagued him for a start or two. You're thinking, okay, is this guy may even get some Cy Young votes? And he was pitching that effectively. And what was the difference last year was that, he was the command of his fastball. That's where everything starts. He was commanding his fastball better, but he had a much better feel for his secondary pitches. His slider became a weapon again. We're never going to see that guy that was touted, I don't think, back during his high, top prospect days. The guy was throwing 94, 95 with the, good slider and the other secondary stuff. But, he proved last year and even back in 2014 that he can be successful right there at 90, 91. Just because of his advanced knowledge of knowing how to attack hitters. At this age, I think that he has proven that he has a good sense of how to attack hitters, and that's going to keep him around the game for a long time. Over the next few years, we're probably going to see bigger and better arms that might, become more of that legitimate ace of that staff. But with Teheran locked up here for the next few years, he certainly serves as a valuable anchor. Not only for this year, but in the years to come, as the Sean Newcombs and go all the way down to the Colby Allards as they start arriving and have that potential to step up and be the ace. You look at the rest of the rotation, Bartolo Colon coming off another very consistent season there with the Mets with R.A. Dickey. He did struggle last year, but you look at his home and road splits. He had a 3.43 ERA, I believe, on the road. Having a chance to pitch outside of the dome may be beneficial. He may get back to the consistency he showed in previous years where he's a guy that eats 200 innings every year. And that's really what they went out and got Colon and Dickey for. And they wanted two guys that could eat innings as they started to, bring in, as they had somewhat of a young rotation around them. Now, obviously, the rotation, added more experience after those two guys arrived when they acquired Jaime Garcia. And Garcia is a bit of a question mark, because of his health history. But if he pitches effectively early in the year, he's a guy that they could flip and then maybe make a spot for the Aaron Blair, Matt Whistler, Patrick Weigel, Sean Newcomb, those guys that are knocking on the door and that might be ready by June or July.
Yeah, certainly question marks with Garcia. And with the Dickey and Colon signings, I thought they took care of that early on, as if those, those guys were clear targets and they took care of it. Garcia came a little bit later. If you throw those guys in with Teheran, there's four starters. Is Mike Foltynewicz set to be the other guy in this mix as far as five guys to start the season?
Well, what the Braves are going to say, Aaron Camp is, he needs to win that this spot, and that's fine. I mean, you got to say that. And, you don't want to have a guy at this early stage of his career feeling like anything's handed to him. But at the same time, unless he absolutely has a terrible spring or, you know, suffers some kind of injury, I don't see how you could give that spot to Whistler or Blair and not him. And let's take it a step further. Okay, so now you say, okay, what about John Danks or Cole Mentor? Okay, you still have to take a look at the big picture here. I think that they're already taking, you know, kind of risking the future a little bit by putting Whistler and Blair at Triple-A level to start the season. I think you have to add at least one of these guys in the rotation because you don't want to go into 2018 with a bunch of guys that are going to be enduring growing pains, you know, in having to learn the lessons that you really can only learn at the big league level. Yes, you can develop at the minor league level, but there are lessons that you can only learn when you're there in the big league. So I think you've got to set up the possibility that, you know, Fulton Evans is going to have every opportunity to make, you know, 30 starts or at least somewhere in that vicinity. And at some point this year, I you know, like I said, whether you flip Garcia or Cologne or Dickey, I think at some point in time you may have to create another spot for at least one of those other guys so that when you go into 2018, you aren't once again burdened by the youth in your rotation that they felt last year. And, you know, I get it. You're moving into a new stadium. You want to win this year. You go out and get these veteran guys. And at the same time, you motivate some of your young kids, like Whistler and Blair, by telling them, hey, look, nothing's guaranteed. You're going to have to earn your way back up here. And that's fine. But at the same time, if they prove they're ready, I don't think that they can be in a position where they're blocking their path back to the big league level for any significant length of time. And the same goes with in regards to Newcomb and Weigel and Max Fried coming quickly. You know, he's going to start at the Double-A level. He's never pitched there before. But at the same time, I wouldn't be surprised at some point this summer we'll talk about, hey, is this guy ready to make the jump?
You mentioned Whistler and Blair a lot there, and obviously they're kind of those next guys in line. And it's been made clear by the moves the Braves made the offseason that they're most likely, unless they're absolutely lights out in spring training, starting the year in AAA. How will those guys handle that? Because they're almost back where they were a year ago, you know, trying to make this team. But maybe they, when you talk about Whistler, maybe there's less of a chance now than there was a year ago of him being part of a rotation.
Well, I think he's the one that probably, if you're saying which one should be more angry with this direction, I think he may be the one. You know, Aaron Blair had his opportunities last year. You know, it wasn't out of question that, hey, maybe he would stumble a little bit last year and that there was a possibility he would have to start this year at AAA. There was never a guarantee he was going to stick. But at the same time, Whistler has been, you know, has been within this Atlanta rotation for a significant portion of both of the past two seasons. Yes, he struggled throughout June, July last year. When he came back in August, I thought he pitched pretty effectively. And, yes, there was a start or two there in September after he had tweaked his oblique where he may have been battling some rust or shaking off some rust. But at the same time, you know, I think that he's the one guy that has to be saying, hey, you know, don't forget about me. You know, what more can I prove? But at the same time, I think that, you know, he's one guy that if he just gets a little bit more mental toughness about him, you know, maybe enhances his confidence there on the mound, you know, becomes more aggressive with his approach, I think he has a long career ahead of him. I really like his intelligence, his pitching IQ. They're just a little bit, some portions of his game that I've heard some of the coaches and scouts talk about were, you know, just the pitchability and aggression level, I think, are the two things that he has to focus on. And, you know, hey, maybe this little kick in the rear will be exactly what he needs and to get back on that path that he's shown that he can travel both the past two seasons, because there have been stretches where he's shown that he could be at least a solid number three or number four for many years at this level.
Yeah, hopefully the motivation certainly pays off, and it's, I think, a good tactic. You don't want a guy to get comfortable either. One more thing I wanted to get your thoughts on, Mark, here on the podcast. Blaine Boyer, Emilio Bonifacio, non-roster invites to this team. What are the chances of one or both of those guys earning a spot on this roster?
Well, you know, with Bonifacio, I was somewhat surprised to hear him thrown in the mix. You know, when he signed in December, I was actually surprised he signed back with the Braves. You know, he spent most of last year with Gwinnett. He was effective, or he put up some good numbers there, but at the same time, you know, his big league results weren't impressive in any sense, and obviously he had struggled the year before with the White Sox. So I was somewhat surprised that they went that route and that he wanted to come back here, but at the same time, from what I hear, that he's certainly right there in the mix and maybe should be considered one of the favorites for the bench job if they like his. You know, he's a switch hitter with some speed and has that ability to play center field. They have some other options to play center field if necessary. You know, if Enciarte's out for any extended period of time with Peterson or Rodriguez, either one of those guys could move out there, even Darno. But at the same time, I think they just kind of want to have a guy like Bonifacio on the bench, from what I understand. So if he has a decent spring, I do expect him on the roster. As with Boyer, he was somewhat of a late sign here a week or so ago. But, you know, he obviously wanted to pitch here in his hometown. This is a chance, you know, this is going to be his only opportunity to be a part of the first season of SunTrust Park. He's got a couple, some young children here that he's been moving around here the last few years, San Diego, Minnesota, and Milwaukee. You know, there are no guarantees with that minor league deal, but at the same time, I think he was confident enough in his own abilities and also interested in this opportunity to keep his family at home to take this chance that he now has. You look at the bullpen mix, and you have Jim Johnson, obviously, there at the top, and if Rodas Biscaino's healthy, as everybody expects he's going to be, he's the guy that could be their top setup guy. You got Cabrera, Ramirez, Kroll, Jazz Rowe, and then Paco Rodriguez is probably, if he comes back from Tommy John effectively, then he's probably their one guy that could be used as a lefty specialist. So you're running out of numbers even with them using an 8-man pen, especially when you throw in Romero, the Rule 5 pick from the Cubs. But at the same time, you know, I think the Braves may use this depth to either make a trade or, you know, maybe take one of these younger guys. It would probably have to be Cabrera, because you got Rowe, Kroll, and Ramirez all out of options. You know, maybe they start him back at the minor league level. You know, here's a guy that's throwing a 100-plus. You know, if he throws strikes as consistently as he did last year, that'd be pretty hard to do. But at the same time, I think they're very interested in having Boyer's experience there in their pen, some leadership. So, you know, whether it's via trade or maybe Rivera doesn't make the club, if nothing else, Boyer provides some insurance. But at the same time, I will not be surprised if he is also in that Atlanta bullpen on opening day.
Great stuff, Mark. This has been MLB.com Extras, our Braves edition. For Mark Bowman, I'm Tim McMaster. Tune in again next time.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.